A grim underground dungeon in Rome's ancient Mamertine prison near the Forum has long been venerated as the place where the Apostle Peter was imprisoned by the Emperor Nero before he was crucified. Now, fresh excavations and restoration work by archaeologists in recent months have found decorations and other evidence to support the belief that the founder of the Catholic Church may indeed have spent his final days in this dark and dank cell. Tradition holds that the Apostle St. Paul was also incarcerated in the Mamertine prison by the Emperor Nero before he was put to death by being beheaded. The archaeologists who carried out these excavations at the Mamertine say the evidence they uncovered shows that the prison was converted into a place of cult-like worship of St. Peter by the 7th century at the latest, maybe earlier. Liz Lev is a teacher of Christian art and archaeology at Duquesne University's Rome campus, and I sat down with her to find out more about the significance of these latest findings.
Well, about a year ago, they started an excavation, a restoration, to try to bring that space back to light. Previously, it was really truly just a dark, dank cell where one had to evoke with a great deal of imagination the presence of the apostles there. But this big cleaning and removing a great deal of grime from the walls has brought to light remains of decoration, signs of a very early Christian devotional space.
And how significant is this new evidence, these paintings, these frescoes? What do they show, as far as we can tell?
Well, they add to a chain of belief. It's not the most earth-shaking, remarkable discovery. Nobody found, you know, a note from Peter sitting on the floor in the excavations. But what they did find were decorations that date back to the 7th century. And that's indicative of the moment that the Forum began to transform into a Christian space. There was already a staking out of that space for Peter. The Forum, maybe people don't realize, although Christianity was legalized in 312 by Constantine, there were no Christian buildings in the Forum until 525. And even that building, the Basilica of Cosmas and Damian, was a little bit up the Via Sacra. The actual transformation of the Forum space took until the 6th, 7th centuries. And so we're talking about the transformation of the Curia, the ex-Senate House, into the Church of St. Hadrian. Apparently, simultaneously with that transformation, there was a decoration to turn this ancient prison into a Christian devotional space as Peter's prison. So it closes that gap between that moment that Peter was imprisoned there and the understanding of this as a pilgrim spot.
It's also believed that St. Paul was also incarcerated by the Emperor Nero in the same jail. Is there any evidence to support that belief in concrete archaeological terms?
Well, archaeological terms, finding the remains of evidence of someone being imprisoned there, it's kind of like, you know, hoping to find evidence that, you know, somebody once stayed in. You wouldn't even have a written record of Peter and Paul's being imprisoned there. Therefore, I think more it's a question, the only kind of evidence that we can have in our present state of the art and science, the only kind of evidence we can hope for is what they found, the sign that there is a very ancient tradition linking Peter and Paul to that space. We have, literature-wise, we have the connection of both apostles to that space, particularly codified in Jacopo da Voragine's golden legend, but much, much, much older as an oral tradition. So we have this ancient tradition of the two of them imprisoned in the Mamertine prison, but now we have some evidence that people believed this not out of the blue in 1300, not out of the blue in 1500, but already in 600-700 people were, and perhaps even earlier, by the way. The excavations indicate that there may even be some earlier sign.
Are they going on with more excavations, as far as you know?
I think what they could do with a space that's about 12 feet deep, and I mean, it's two rooms, one on top of the other, I think what they could do, they have done. Now it's a question of reopening it to the public, adding a proper kind of didactic aspect so that people can go through that space and understand it a little bit more. I'm sure you you as much as I have been down in those rooms, and you just sort of stand in a dank underground cell and you try to evoke the presence of Peter and Paul. I suspect they're going to try to make it a little easier for our imaginations to work.
Now, the two saints are said, of course, to have caused an underground spring to miraculously rise up from the ground so that they could baptize their guards and their fellow prisoners there. And what were the reasons behind this belief that sprung up? Can you fill in our listeners there a little bit about this?
The space that we are referring to as the Mamertine Prison is a very, very ancient space. So, in first and foremost, the archaeological expedition that worked on that space was looking to link together about 2,600 years of history. Okay? Because the oldest evidence is a cavern carved literally into the side of the rock of the Palatine Hill, a cavern that seems to have been some sort of devotional area. It was a worship space for the ancient Romans, for one of the very, very archaic pagan gods, that involved a sacred stream. And so there was some sort of water that passed through there. And so the prison, although it doesn't have a fountain today, and it's not known to have had a fountain during the period when, for example, Sallust describes it, that space was always very dank. And when you went in there, it was always remarkably humid. Now, the tradition is that St. Peter and St. Paul were imprisoned at length or for some period, where they were tended to by their jailers, who were Processus and Martinianus, two Roman soldiers assigned to guard duty, probably not too happy about it, watching over the dankest space in Rome. But during the time that they spent with Peter and Paul, they were converted and asked to be baptized. At that time, first century AD, there was no water in the prison, and the story is that Peter took his staff and he struck the ground, and water came up from that space in the ground. And so you can still see in that spot down below, there's a little corner that's gated off as the space of the wellspring that sprung up so that Peter could baptize his jailers.
You talked about how these are very dank and dismal prisons. Can you paint us a picture for our listeners of this complex of underground cells?
Yes, it is two cells, one on top of the other. The lower cell is about 12 feet underground, and it's carved into stone. So you start by walking underneath a church that was built up in the 17th century. It's the Church of St. Joseph of the Carpenters. Pretty little church with a charming little facade. And you walk down these stairs into a first very dark room. And on the side walls of that dark room were published, they're printed the names of the prisoners, the ancient Roman prisoners who were Jugurtha, king of the Numidians, who had been killed in that spot. And then on the other side, there's the list of the Christian martyrs who died out of that prison. And then you descend another set of stairs, which is modern. Originally, there was just a hole in the ground. The ancient tradition is that prisoners were pushed into that hole and they dropped into the ground.
Yeah, so in fact, the lower level of cells could only be reached through this hole in the roof. And that's
exactly
where they were pushed through it.
Exactly. They were pushed through it. They fell down to that ground. There was no way out. Someone didn't let you up. And so down there in the ancient world, in the Roman pagan world, that's where executions actually took place. Some were starved, some were strangled, some were beheaded. In the case of Peter and Paul, they were apparently just kept there for a short period of time. The lower cell is dark. The person who gave us a very good description is Sallust, writing in the first century BC. He described it as repugnant and fearsome and reeked of neglect and dampness.
And they were shackled, presumably.
Yes, there's a post in that space, which is, according to tradition, where Peter and Paul were shackled and from whence come the chains that today are in both the Church of St. Peter in chains and in St. Paul's.
You mentioned there that some of the prisoners were starved to death, so I mean really mistreated. Is it true that their bodies were then tossed into the Cloaca Maxima, the city's main sewer?
Honestly, I find that a little hard to believe. I know that sort of piling gruesome legend upon gruesome legend is always very tempting. The problem is Romans are very careful about running water, and they prefer to keep it as unpolluted as possible. So I've always had a little problem with the dropping bodies in the Cloaca Maxima or even in the Tiber itself. Romans went to a great deal of trouble and passed a lot of legislation to make sure people didn't do that kind of stuff. So to have an institutional disposal of bodies makes not a lot of sense to me.
Who built the prison, and for how long then did it altogether serve as a jail?
Well, the space was originally built, apparently, the Roman annals tell us, it was built by Servius Tullius, one of the Etruscan kings of Rome who reigned from after Romulus's time until 509 BC, that he built, again, a devotional space. It started out as a space, a cavern carved into the side of the Capitoline Hill as they were establishing the Roman worship. And then it was transformed, apparently somewhere in the 2nd century BC, into a political prison, because that's when we start to hear sources referring to it as the place where various people were kept, although it actually seems to be earlier. There's the old story that when Romulus defeated the king of the Samnites, he put him there, but I'm not entirely sure that that works.
So we're talking about a place that could well have been, as you say, the place where St. Peter spent his last days on earth before he was taken, of course, to the spot on which St. Peter stands, and he was there crucified, and he was crucified upside down, wasn't he?
Yes. This site is very, it has long been very important to Christians as part of our great Petrine itinerary in Rome, the possibility to come here and walk in the various steps of Peter, so we can go to the Mamertine prison and think about, you know, those last hours in that horrible space, preparing to follow the will of God to the bitter end. We can go to the Quo Vadis church, where Peter had a possibility of escaping. Processus and Martinianus freed him from that prison, let him out, and helped him escape. But Peter returned to that same dark cell after he encountered Jesus on the Appian Way. And so we can go to the house of Senator Pudans, the church of Santa Pudenciana. We can see these places where Peter was, and we can end up in the spot where Peter died and was buried, which flowered into, of course, the most beautiful Petrine monument of all, St. Peter's.
Speaking to Liz Lev, expert on Christian art and archaeology at Duquesne University's Rome campus.